thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Folks, thank you so, so much. None of you refused me when I first asked if you would do a tag team testimony. And I know that none of you are nervous in the slightest. And it's lovely to see your many of your family with us tonight. That's really encouraging. So without any further ado, Sybil, the reason why I have you there is I'm going to start you off, first of all. The youngest first, of course, isn't that right? Sybil, now I might throw out a wee curveball here. Please tell us about your love of biscuits. And more importantly, where's Bill? Bill, stand up a wee second there, would you? Just so we all know who Bill is. Give Bill a round of applause. Don't worry, I'll not embarrass the other husbands. The reason why I wanted Bill to stand up, so your love of biscuits and how you hide them from Bill.
Well, I'm afraid he knows all the hiding places now.
Okay, tell us where they are then.
In my pockets, in the cupboard, in the drawer, everywhere, in every room.
So I take it that's what you spend your pension on then, biscuits?
Oh, definitely, yes, definitely.
And probably a wee part of Bill's as well, is that right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Debbie, you've got two glasses there by the look of it, just in case you kind of... Thank you so much. Maybe could you take the mic there from Sybil, if that's okay? Debbie, I'd mentioned to you earlier, actually, when we were talking to Emily. Emily wrote a beautiful little letter during the week, and it was a letter to God, wasn't it? Can you remember what it said? I do have it here if you want me to read it out, but...
Could you
I'll read it out, and then, because I really want you to tell us how you felt about that, you know, and what really it meant to you. So I think it said, God is... the best God ever. I wish I could just give you a big hug. Thank you for my family and friends and all the things that you have done. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? And what age is Emily?
Nine.
Ah. Do you want to just tell everyone just what that meant to you as a mum?
Well, it was encouraging just because I would write down prayers and things and I had it sitting on the kitchen table. So she obviously felt to write as well. And it was just encouraging to see how they watch and learn from you. And it was just lovely. It was just lovely to read it, you know, that she has a genuine wee heart. So, yeah.
Beautiful. It just shows you to your children do watch closely what we do and listen closely to what we say. Thank you so much. Elaine, you've got your glasses there for some reason. You'll not need your glasses for this one. So your hubby Don and daughter Chloe have a great love for flowers. Have you got green fingers?
And, no.
And if not, so it's a no, it's a flat no.
Absolutely not.
What hobby or hobbies would you have?
Oh, don't really have any hobbies as such. You know, I like sewing and... I would make my own curtains and things like that, but...
Well, that's a pretty good hobby.
So, and I wouldn't...
Is there a wee business venture there?
No.
Anything hanging in your house?
Yes.
Wow, fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. Excellent. No other hobbies, no?
No, not really.
Okay, great job. Super. Right, if you can pass that on down. Sybil, these are the serious questions now, okay? So you need to behave yourself. You'll try. You weren't brought up in Elam. Can you tell us about your upbringing and how you eventually came to know Jesus?
Sure. I was brought up in a family of eight, and we were sent to Sunday school from very early, about 4 or 5 years old. I lived in Grace Hill, and we went to the church in Ahochle, the Church of Ireland in Ahochle, and there I heard the Bible read, but I didn't really understand. I thought people lived a good life, and at the end God would have like a balance, he would say, where you did so many good things and less bad things, so you would get to heaven. But when I was 13, this family lived in the village of Grace Hill, had a shop, and they asked me would I like to come and help them look after their twin daughters. And they belonged to the Gospel Hall in a Hochul. And they asked me if I'd like to go to children's meetings. And that was the first time I heard that it's not by works, it's only by salvation that you could get to heaven. And I was really intrigued by this. But like all others, I thought, well, give me a little longer. Sure, my goodness, I'm only 13. I'll think about it later on. But the thought never really left me. And I went to gospel meetings with them every... I went to their house every day to look after the children after school. And then I would go on a Sunday evening to the gospel service and Sunday school every Sunday. And I would like to encourage all Sunday school teachers. I know they can be discouraged at times. You speak and you tell them the story of Jesus and they seem to not really listen. And to mothers or fathers or anybody here that's children, never give up, because God hears and God's interested and the word will bring forth fruit. I would like to encourage them to keep on praying, because that's what my Sunday school teacher did for me. And I thought about it many times, but I thought some other time. But on the 15th of September 1963, one day after Sunday school, I came back home, and in the home I was visiting, up in their sitting room, I said, Jesus, I will trust you with my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless. Thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven or on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me. And that day I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Saviour. And if you can count back, that'll be 60 years on the 15th of September this year. Many times I have let the Lord down, but I can faithfully say, faithful, faithful friend, closer than a brother. And I never regretted the day that I trusted him.
Amen. Isn't that just fantastic? It's just fantastic to know that that Sybil has been walking with the Lord for 60 years. And you wouldn't try and say that you're perfect, because none of us are.
Definitely not. I've made many mistakes, but God is always faithful. And I can truly say he's a forgiving God. And I could recommend him. I know people live without him, but I can tell you it'll be a sad, sad day, the day you die without him. People do think they don't need him, but I can assure you that he could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. And people need that. And there's no point in waiting until it's death's door. People could really have him as a friend. And no matter what stage in life you're at, he's always there. And he always has an answer to every problem. And life has many problems. And I've had problems in my life, because if you're one of a family of eight, and my mother and father never went to church, just to weddings and funerals. But God's faithful and God answers prayer.
Amen. I think we have a preacher here, folks. What do you think? Yeah. If we're stuck some night, I think we know who to call. Do you know what? When I first met Sybil about 4 months ago, she was so quiet. She wouldn't have said boo to a goose, but Something has happened. Thank you so much, Sybil. Debbie, you know what's coming next. How long are you married, and can you tell us the story about the motorbike and the ring?
Well,
sorry, Robbie.
12 years, coming September, Robbie and I are married. And whenever I met Robbie, he had a motorbike, a BMW GS, 1200 GS, if I get it right. It was lovely, beautiful bike, and took me out on it once, thankfully just the once.
Why and just then, the once, Debbie? Would be quite interesting.
Well, it went round that corner, the coast, round the corner on the coast, and that was quite something else, so that was the last. So he wanted to trade the bike in. We'd been going out a year, I think, and he wanted to trade it in for something more beautiful, because he thought the bike was a beautiful bike, something less miles, something that he would never have to change. So he sold the bike and bought an engagement ring and a wedding ring all on the same day, so he wasn't waiting about. So that was it. So this is a reminder of his bike every time he sees it.
So the BMW is constantly on Debbie's hand, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think we need to give Robbie a round of applause. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It just brought to my memory our middle daughter, Rebecca. That's Lydia's mummy. Her and David celebrated their 6th wedding anniversary during the week. It actually happened to be the same day as our oldest daughter Rhiannon's birthday. But it's so funny, be very careful what you post on social media. Be careful of spell check or predictive text, because a friend of ours put up happy weeping anniversary. That's not the case with Robbie and Debbie. Thank you so much. Elaine, can you tell us what you work at and a little bit about your family, please? Thank you.
Well, I work in insurance. So do you? I've been working in it now. This is my 35th year.
Do you know Robbie at all? He used to have a motorbike.
Probably sold him insurance at one time, I'm sure. So I've been working this, 35 years in the insurance industry. I am married to Dawn. We are married now 32 years. This is our 33rd year. I have two beautiful daughters and a son, Lauren, Chloe and Ross, and they're here with us tonight.
Side. I think they might
be here.
They're
here
tonight. Not embarrass you any more than just waving.
So we're very proud of them all. So we are.
Lovely.
So Chloe has her own wee shop, flower shop. Lauren's a teacher and Ross is at university. So.
Very good. And Dawn works at?
And Dawn works. He's a gardener.
Lovely. Oh, we did touch on that earlier, didn't we?
Yeah.
Fantastic garden too, Dawn. Really tremendous. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Sybil, what way have you served the Lord in the past, and how are you enjoying being part of the welcome team?
Well, I used to do parents and toddlers in the Church of God. And before that, in the church in Coleraine, there was a man, and he used to go on a mission team every summer, and something like CSSM, only it was called United Beach Missions, and he used to say, would you like to go? And I'd say, oh, I couldn't do that. And then his wife was going one year and she said, would you go with me? And I said, oh well, granny going on beach missions, oh wow. And I'd never been away, you know, with these in school for sleepovers. Well, I'd never been for a sleepover. And we were staying in this wee Methodist church, and you got your wee blow-up mattress and your wee sleeping bag and your wee pillow. And I thought, oh, granny's in beach mission and she's having a sleepover. And I thought it was amazing. But then there was a lot of work to do. There was 19 people for breakfast. And I'm just big billing me. So up out of bed early in the morning getting breakfast for all these people, and then into the car and away to the beach. And then you got your ground sheet down and you started to sing and you gathered up your congregation. And it was great fun. I loved it. And it was really, really, really encouraging. And I went for 4 years. So I had 4 sleepovers. And then I have to give the BB a plug now. I joined Anchor Boys. And I thought, wow, this is great, all these wee boys. And then you've a chance of reaching their mothers and their fathers. And I loved it. And I did that for a few years. And it was great. It's a great work. BB.
So before you hand that mic over, Sybil, and you're a case, so you are. I remember whenever we launched the Welcome Team, Team W, and Esther put out the wee rota for the first Sunday morning. When you and Bill came in that Sunday morning, Bill said that you had walked up and down the aisles all night in your dreams and welcomed everybody. but really, you're not nervous, sure you're not.
Well, really, do you remember I said to you, no, it's not for me. I'm an odd buddy. Don't know me.
I do remember you saying that.
But then when I was reading during the week, God said, faith isn't figuring out what you're able to do. It's deciding what you're going to do even when you think you can't. And I says, okay, I'll tell Pastor Paul that. And I told you that. So that was my encouragement.
Lovely.
God said, do it. Then I was able to do
it. Lovely. We heard that this morning, didn't we? You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, mm-hmm. said, whatever he says, do it. So we're hearing that tonight again. Thank you so much. Debbie, how did you come to know Jesus as your personal saviour?
I don't come from a Christian family, but we were sent, me and my sister, my older sister, were sent to church morning, noon and night and through the week. Lived out in Castle Road, so there it was at English Town Presbyterian Church, but it was a Thursday night. They had a GA, it was called then, Girls Association. And there you learnt the gospel about being saved, and you had to be saved and to get to heaven, and we were always given the opportunity, if we wanted to, ask Jesus into our hearts. And I think I was 11, 12, I can't remember just the exact age. But I took the opportunity one evening, and one of the leaders, Lillian Downs, a lady, I don't know if anybody knows Lillian from Korean, lovely lady, took me down and led me in a prayer. And it wasn't anything wow, but it was... For me, it was that I knew that I had the God of the universe was in my heart. That's just how I described it. And I was so excited and got my mum and dad to stand in front of the fireplace and said, I've become a Christian. But that was it for me. It wasn't, I wouldn't say I led a life of following that through as I grew older, because, you know, I think it's important to have your parents to support you and to, you know, and I didn't have that, so I just went off life, my merry old way, just living life and thinking the world was, you know, at 16 I wanted to get out and live it. But then God, when I was in my early 20s, I got myself into a real, it was a pit, a black, dark pit, and I didn't understand what was wrong. And But God delivered me. I was delivered. I didn't realise I had a spirit of fear, the things I had done in my life, and opened the door to a lot of things. And I was delivered, how God brought that about. And that was a journey back again. And And at times I went away again and came back, but God always, always, it's like being an elastic band, just always pulls you back. And yeah, so that was me.
Lovely. Thank you so much. We're hearing a similar theme, aren't we? That, you know, we're not perfect. We do stray. We do make mistakes. We do get ourselves in pickles or in dark holes at times. But he's the God of second chances, isn't he? And we thank God for that. Thank you so much. Elaine, was there a particular person who played a big part in you giving your life to Jesus? And how did that come about? How did that unfold?
Well, to be honest with you, Paul, there was quite a few people, you know, had an impact in my life. Like Sybil has already talked or touched on, you know, Sunday school teachers, GB leaders and that. And there's a few of my Sunday school teachers here tonight. And GB, Celia was the captain of the GB when I was in it. I see Pearl down there. Pearl was a Sunday school teacher of mine. And Bertha as well, although Bertha tells me she's 21, so I don't know what age that makes me now. So she told me that a few weeks ago. So, but I have to give it to my parents, my mum and my dad, and my granny McHenry. She was a big influence on my life. Suppose I could say I was like her sticking plaster. Where she was, I was. But I was taken to school or Sunday school, church and Sunday school. We went to church Sunday morning, back again in the afternoon to Bible or to Sunday school in the afternoon, then back at church at night time. Wednesday night was GB night, Friday night was youth club night, Saturday night was Bible study night, and then we had the coffee bar after that. So that was week in, week out. You know, we were taken to church and Sunday school. And I'm thankful for that. So I am. Maybe there were some times maybe I didn't want to go, but I was pushed on, and I'm thankful now that my parents pushed me on. Now, suppose back in 1982, my granny was diagnosed with cancer, and that was a real blow to us, so it was, and I watched her, so I did, and suffer. But do you know what? Even in her suffering, she never complained. Never complained. I remember one, many's a Sunday, but I remember one Sunday in particular. My mom and dad wheeling her into the church on a wheelchair. Just a number of weeks before Jesus took her home. And she sat there and she sang and she praised her Saviour. So she did. Like, that sticks in my mind in a big, big way. And I thought, well, if she can do that when she knows that her time is short, you know, how can we not, you know, I just am amazed at just how she did it. But on the 9th of November, that on 1982, my dad was taken out of school that morning, and I got the news that my granny had passed on. Now that was like a blow to me. I had lost my best friend. It was like losing your right arm. And I was so upset. And I remember my dad taking me aside that evening, and he said, "Elaine," he says, "you know your granny's in heaven." He says, and he says, "you know there will be a day." He says that you will get reunited, but you will only be reunited if you surrender your life over to Jesus. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and then the next day, the 10th of November, 1982, Pastor Taylor, who was my pastor at the time, led me in the sinner's prayer, and I surrendered my life to Jesus. So I did. It was actually my mum's birthday that day as well. But as you grow up, I was only 12 at the time, so I was, and as I say, you grow up, maybe didn't just fully grasp, I knew that you had to be saved, you know, and that, but at that age, I don't know whether you really think about it too much, you know, But as I say, we were brought up through church to attend it. I mean, church was my life, really, at that stage. And I mean, I've always been a Christian, but as Sybil has said, like, there's times that many times we feel Jesus, and I suppose every day we do feel him, but he gives us the grace and the strength to go on. So he does. And I thank him for that. But as I say, there are many, many people that do impact on your lives. And as Sybil says, Sunday school teachers, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you're sowing the seed. That seed, you'll see it through to fruition, you know, if you keep praying. So that's how that was, as I say, it was my grandmother that was a big influence in my life.
Lovely. Thank you so much. So, folks, if you're working in any sort of youth or child ministry, it's tough at times. At times, you think that you're just, you know, you're hitting your head against a brick wall. But don't give up. Those seeds that you're sowing will bear fruit. And also the influence of family members, you know, godly people who leave a lasting impact upon us as well. Thank you so much. Sybil, this is your last question. You'll be glad to know.
Yes.
You can start to relax a little bit. What would you say to someone who was like yourself, because you're not like this now, but who was perhaps a wee bit nervous, a wee bit fearful about doing something new for the Lord? So what advice could you give them? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say pray about it. But God will give you the strength to do it. And ask him to give you a wee verse or something. Like last night, or the day before that, I thought, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And Sunday, the age of me, and never on the platform before. And this is what he said. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. And when I read that, I read it twice actually. It came into my mind. And I said, I wonder where that verse is. If I can't find it, I'll ask Bill. But then you talk about this old Facebook and all that there, but there's still some good things on it. And there, when I switched it on, what do you think the verse was? The very one I was looking for. So God has a way of sending you that message, but you've got to take it and you've got to claim it. There's no point in them giving you, and you say, that's for somebody else, for it was for me. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I, after that, the fear went a bit. I didn't say it went all, you know, but it went a bit. So
I think it went a big bit. You're out. You really are, Sybil. Oh, thank you so much. Can you just remind us what you said there a wee minute ago? If God says something or gives you something, you've got to claim it. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So important, isn't it?
Very important, yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You can relax now, Sybil. Debbie, what led you to come to Ballymoney Elam, and has God blessed you during your time here?
We were attending the church, and I was just unsettled in the church, and Elam was in my head, and it was in for a while, and it's not that I knew anybody here, and I thought, right, I'll go along some morning, and I went by myself, and that was October 2018. So I came for a few weeks and then brought the rest of the clan. We came along, and then COVID hit. March, I think, was that, 2019. So we all then were, I just felt then you didn't really get to know anybody, or So then when we started coming back into the church, I still felt like this newbie coming in, and, you know, I knew a few people. But since, you know, I feel like even when I did first come, people made you feel so welcome and very friendly, very go out of their way, you know, to make you feel welcome. And I found too that blessed just with people that are genuinely godly people, genuinely. And so it's lovely to feel blessed that it's a family. I think church, as you were saying this morning, it's not, well, it's a fellowship, but it's more of a family. And that's nice. I think it's nice to feel that you're part of a family. It's very important when you've young people, young children of your own, you know. So yeah, just, and since yourselves coming too, you know, it's just feels exciting to be a part of the church, because it's really, I don't know, this thing's happening, you know, so it's great to be part of it. So blessed, yeah, just to be here.
Amen. Can I just pick up on a wee point, and again, this isn't scripted, but you mentioned COVID, and COVID was really tough for a lot of people, really, really tough for a lot of children. We saw that a lot in our grandchildren in particular. So how did you manage during COVID, you know, with your own faith? And you'd obviously, you hadn't long come to a new church. And as you say, after COVID, you still felt a wee bit like a newbie, even though technically you were there probably 4 years at that stage. So how did you cope? How did the Lord help you through COVID?
I seemed to listen more to sermons and things during lockdown and that, because it was just something surreal that was happening in the world, and I felt more seeking God and reading and, as I say, sermons, just listening more than I ever, I think, did. It just, you know, because you just plod along on a Sunday and just plod, you know, and this really did sort of give us a shake. So I just, I suppose that just got us through, and just not giving up, I suppose, getting through it that way. So, yeah.
Lovely. Thank you so much. That's great. That's you. You can breathe now, Debbie. So, Elaine, what is God saying to you or teaching you in this season of your life?
Well, I think what he's teaching me now at the minute is patience. And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't have much of it. I'm not a particularly patient person. I'm one of those people that likes it done yesterday. but God knows the desires of each of our hearts. So he does. And he knows what my desire is. My desire is for my family and my friends to have that personal relationship with him. But I know that, again, it's like sort of one of them things that you want it to happen now, but I know that it's in his time and it's not in mine. And all I can do is just pray and seek God, and I pray for them every day, and I ask God to keep that hand and his hedge of protection around each and every one of them, and I pray for their salvation. You know, we just have to look at this world and the way it is at the minute. Time is short. Time, the clock is ticking. And it would be my prayer to see them saved. But, you know, as mothers and fathers, we just want what's the best for them. And my prayer is that they will seek him. I've just got to keep trusting God. So I believe what God is saying is from Psalm 46, verse 10. He's saying, "Be still, know that I am God," and he has got it in his control.
Thank you so much. And that could well be a verse for somebody here tonight, couldn't it? It could be a verse for somebody in a similar situation,
yeah,
where they're maybe learning patience as well, and that they need to be still and yeah, wait upon God. And yet when you're being still and when you're doing the waiting, you're still doing the praying,
yeah,
which is what it's all about. Can we give our lovely ladies a big round of applause?
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.